into the sin bin. This is Penalty Box Radio.
Three-time best sports blog winner.
With Justin Bradford.
Two-time toast of Music City best sports reporter.
And Glenn Blackwell. Brought to you by E610 Athletes. It's time to talk all things hockey in the Music City. Penalty Box Radio is on. Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Hello and welcome to Penalty Box Radio, powered by E610 Athletes. Justin Bradford, along with Glenn Blackwell, producer Buck behind the glass. And boy, we don't have any phones working here, so we're just going to be all Justin and Glenn hour for the next hour. And I'm sure Buck will have some things to chime in because Glenn's going to have some really bad jokes. So he's going to have that button queued up to go.
I hope your button works, Buck.
So we have plenty of stuff to talk about. The Nashville Predators ending a big homestand, going on the road for a couple games, and then back home again. And, Glenn, I'm actually a little relieved because I was getting a little tired. Those are some late nights.
Yeah, they start to take its toll on you as the fan, and then I'm sure, obviously, I guess the players, I guess it takes its toll on them too. But especially for the media, the fans, it's a lot. It's exhausting.
I'm just whining. I'm just whining right now. I'm being a very whiny baby right now.
Poor
about
Justin.
It.
Buck came prepared tonight.
That's
I love it.
Queen grandma to you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, so the Nashville Predators, a big test that they faced, and I'm not talking about the Blackhawks because that was definitely not a test against the Blackhawks. Duncan Keith, hope you enjoyed eating at the Palm while you were, ejected from the game. But the Buffalo Sabres, one of the top teams in the NHL, former Nashville Predators assistant coach Phil Housley, the head coach of Buffalo Sabres, leading that team, a 10-game winning streak. They had points in 11 of 12 when they came into Nashville. And Nashville, while at points, look, they're holding on for a little bit against Buffalo because they're a very talented team, but they won. And they got the win in regulation, and that's what matters. That was a good test when you see the teams that are out. I mean, the players that are out.
Mm-hmm.
PK Subban, Victor Arvidsson, Philip Forsberg, and Kyle Turris. So you have three of your top six out.
Yep.
So the two wingers that make up the Joe line out, PK Subban out. Then you have a Nick Bonino that is just coming back from illness, which obviously meant he played limited minutes, which he did in the fourth line.
Mm-hmm.
So not fully 100%. It's one of those things where it was a good test to see the depth of the Nashville Predators team, to see what kind of defense they had to hold on. Because as we've noticed as well, defense isn't scoring near as much, but hey, the defense, along with goaltender Pecorine, they're doing a pretty fabulous job of stopping the other team from scoring on them. And that's one of the important parts of winning, isn't it, Glenn?
It is a very important part of winning, Justin. And I was going to mention the same thing. They held the Sabres to just a few shots in the third, and they played a very, very defensive game. It was kind of like the Barry Trotz defensive game that when your key players are out, you're going to have to do that sometimes. And the depth that you mentioned, everyone has talked about this all season, that the Predators are in a very good place where they have that depth. But I also just think that looking right now, it's December, it's not April and May yet, but it's good to have, not good to have these injuries, but while these people are out and they're still finding ways to win, that's building that character and that's building that confidence for this team that if the scenario presents itself in April or May, they're going to have that confidence from December, knowing that they have the depth on that team to be able to get through that. So I think that it's just huge to win games like that, even if it's just a one goal. It's crucial this time of year to prepare you for the end of the regular season, heading off into playoffs.
No, you're absolutely right. But let's look at this homestand. It wasn't the best homestand that it could be. I mean, obviously started off with a big win against Anaheim, which is they have their own struggles going on. A loss to Colorado in a fantastic game.
Yep.
Now, we talked about that already. The speed of that game was fun to watch, even though the Predators didn't get the W. Then the Arizona Coyotes game, who will be joining the Central Division in 3 years. We'll talk about that more here on Penalty Box Radio. So that 3-0 loss, which was the, kind of loss. Then you have the Chicago 5-2 win, and then the Buffalo, the 2 win over Buffalo. So not the best of what you'd want, and that they had 2 days off. They go off and they play Vancouver and Calgary. And I know Slapshot talked about this a bit in the last hour as well, but the schedule, and I know that the Preds Insiders talk about it too. Hey, it's a 3-hour hockey block. We're going to all talk
about
it.
It's all hockey.
It's all hockey. The schedule overall for the Nashville Predators month of December is very favorable in terms of the injury that they're facing. I'm not trying to say that it's a reason they're going to win, but it's a reason that they should be able to be competitive and win some of these games. It's not going to be as much of a struggle because, I mean, that Vancouver twice, Ottawa twice.
Who is just a team.
I mean, yeah. You have Vancouver, which is an up-and-coming team. They have some good young talent. Mm-hmm. They finally regressed from their hot start to the season, and they are who we thought they were. Mm-hmm. And then you have Ottawa, which is trash. And then you have Chicago, which is a toilet full of dumpster fire. Then you have Philly, which they don't even know what's going on there except for Gritty being the end-all be-all. Then you have the New York Rangers there, too. But then you have some tough games. You have Boston and Washington and Calgary, obviously. And Dallas is always going to be a tough game in the division because those teams obviously don't like each other. But it's a decent schedule that the Predators have been given.
Considering that some of your best players are out.
Yes. So, and I'm not trying to make any excuses or anything like that. I'm just saying it's a positive thing to look at that, hey, they're going to be tested. But at least they're not being tested by going up against Winnipeg twice.
Exactly.
Or Colorado twice.
They're not going to be tested to a point of pure exhaustion, hopefully not, so that when these other guys start to get back into the lineup, they're not wiped out.
They don't have to face Toronto. They don't have to face Tampa Bay. So they don't have to face Buffalo again. So it's a favorable schedule in regards to, hey, this isn't the kind of thing that could knock them, you know, to where they lose 12 points this
month
kind of thing. That's where, you know, hey, you get a few points here and there, you string it together, you stay competitive, you stay near the top. But I was asked earlier, because I did a radio hit with my friends down in Northern Alabama today, about it's a survival mode. I don't necessarily think it's survival mode, because they would never look at it like that.
No.
They will look at it as, hey, they're still a hockey team. They have depth. When one guy goes down, the next one comes up. They're still expecting to win every night, which they should.
And they,
if you have any pro athlete that says, yeah, we're just trying to survive right now, players are out, that's a bad sign.
That's a very bad mentality, and you see it. They see it as an opportunity. Every player that gets to come up and try to prove himself gets that opportunity to do so, and that's an exciting time, I think, for a team to be able to come together and see what they're made of. So, yeah.
It absolutely is. So, we'll see what goes on there. Now, we mentioned it earlier, Pekka Rinne. Okay, obviously, he's getting a lot of starts for good reason. Glenn, did you know that Pekka Rinne is good at goaltending?
Justin, I did not know that until you just said that. But now that I think about it, his continued ability to see through heavy traffic, just, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And dare I say that I feel like he's had moments this season where I feel like he's getting better with age. He has moments and saves where you're just thinking, how?
Like
how?
A fine wine.
Like a fine
like
wine.
Like a fine wine. Pekka Rinne. Better with age.
We need that clip. But
all
it's
right,
true.
Pekka Rinne leading the league in two pretty good categories here. You have goals against average, 1.81. Now, this would be something if he's played three games on the season, like, oh, 1.81. No.
December.
No, he's played a few more games than that. He's played 19 games. In 19 games, he started 18 of those, and he has a 1.81 goals against average. His save percentage is .935. Just behind him is Yaroslav Halak with Boston, and they have their own goaltending controversy over there. 9.935, 1.81 goals against. The dude is for real. And obviously, everybody keeps saying, well, it's maybe Saros. You know, Saros is not having the best start to this season, and that's okay. I do hope Yusa Saros gets a few starts in sooner or later, because he has to play so he doesn't get completely rusty.
Yeah.
But with this team facing injury too, you have your workhorse in there, Pekka Rinne, who is now 12-4-0-1.
Man.
He's putting together another Vezina-like season.
He is.
And it was how many times? He was nominated multiple times. He finally gets that win last year. He's getting better with age, Glenn.
He really is. And, you know, there'll always be, at this point in the year, too, we're reaching, you know, we're approaching mid-December, and I've heard some people who are saying, you know, well, you don't want to wear him out, which is very, very true. You do not want to wear him out. That is why they have, you say, Saros, to give those starts when he's needed. But Pekka has also been very vocal over the years about how he he likes to be thrown in, and he doesn't want to sit on the sidelines and rest, because he does better when he's got pucks flying at him. And so he wants to stay fresh. He's proving that because he's performing incredible night after night. So I say, why stop him? You know, I mean, definitely let Saros get those starts, because he needs that, or else he will not be ready come into the regular season if he's needed, especially. But you also, it's really, really hard to stop that Pekka train, you know, Justin?
Woo,
it's really
woo.
Hard to stop it.
Got Terry Tate up in here with the Pekka train. No, but for real, obviously a very good season going on for Pekka Arena right now. So, yeah. Sorry, producer Buck just gave me this look of complete fear as I think they're testing out the phone lines.
Oh,
the screen just went nuts. But yeah, we did have Kristen Anderson with the Calgary Herald scheduled, and Jillian Fisher making NHL viral videos. So we're going to try to get them rescheduled for later on in the season, because we really want to talk to them about.
That's going to be a good show when they
do
get on.
It will be. But so that's so up next, we're going to talk about the expansion to Seattle, what that means in 3 years, who will not be exempt. Arizona eventually moving to the Central, and why is it 2021? So we're going to discuss all that up next here on Penalty Box Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, this is Matthias Ekholm. You're listening to Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And welcome back to Penalty Box Radio, powered by E610 Athletes. Justin Bradford, Glenn Blackwell, producer Buck behind the glass. And now the news broke, the official news broke that Seattle will be the 32nd franchise in the NHL joining the league in 2021. Because in 2020, there'll be a lockout. No, I don't.
But you never know.
You never know. It's, boy, oh boy, some of these general managers
that come up.
Yep, some of these general managers that have signed some players to ridiculous contracts, Minnesota Wild, never caused a lockout. They did. And so we'll see what happens in 2020.
Come on, man. What are we doing out there, man?
And then when Seattle was kind of wanting to be there 2020, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, the arena's going to be under construction. We should probably not. Maybe 2021.
Redoing
the
arena. Yay. But yes.
Let's just wait.
3 years, $650 million expansion fee.
That's a lot of millions.
Yeah, Vegas paid $500.
Yeah.
So $150 million up just a few years after Vegas. So the thing is, that's going to be split amongst all the teams in the NHL. So, about to get paid.
Everybody's on board, yeah.
Yeah, they're
except
definitely
for
on
Vegas
board.
Vegas does not get paid. So.
No, but Vegas doesn't lose a player either.
They don't, I know.
So, they don't lose one of their star players, because that's apparently how the entire expansion draft worked, was every team lost a star player. No, wait. Only Nashville lost a star player in the expansion draft.
Still mad about it.
Oh, yeah, still mad. Look at what James Neal signed for in Calgary and what his production has been like. You want that? I didn't think so. Okay, so the Seattle. Everybody's like, why Seattle? Why Seattle? Well, there's history of hockey in Seattle. Did you know that, Glenn?
I did know that, Justin.
You did.
Tell me more.
Did you know that the first American team to win the Stanley Cup is from Seattle?
That's crazy. I did not know that.
No, you didn't. Oh, okay. See, I thought the Seattle Metropolitans. All right. That's
a great name.
I know. It was a lovely name. Mm-hmm. So in 1917, they won the Cup. They were part of the Pacific Coast Hockey Association from 1915 to 1924. They won the Stanley Cup in 1917.
Yeah. I mean, what more reason for Seattle to have a...
Do you realize that as soon as the puck drops... For Seattle.
How many cups do you have?
Their fans are going to be able to say, how many cups does your city have? Right off the bat. They're going to be able to...
We're all doomed.
If Nashville doesn't win one by then, the first time they play each other, how many cups you have?
Yep. You know it's going to happen.
They're going to be able to do that St. Louis, because we already know St. Louis is not going to win a cup for 2021.
This is very true.
So, I mean, that's just not...
All right,
Seattle
Nashville, you're up.
Yeah.
You got two now.
Seattle Metropolitans, they won the Stanley Cup. They did that. So, and there's also junior hockey. just play. There's strong hockey in the Northwest. I mean, you have plenty of junior hockey going on there in the WHL. Just in the Northwest area, I mean, you have, let's see, the U.S. teams are the Everett Silvertips in Everett, Washington, Portland Winterhawks in Portland, Oregon, the Seattle Thunderbirds, which are in Kent, which is really, really close, Spokane Chiefs, obviously in Spokane, and the Tri-City Americans in Kennewick. There are a lot of junior hockey teams in the WHL over in the Washington area, and plus Portland, mm-hmm. which is not too far away. Hockey's strong. Up in the Northwest.
And it makes perfect sense as to why this city has been mentioned for years, that it was just, it was always just one decision away from becoming that next city to get an NHL team. So it's exciting because obviously the demand is there. The fans are going to be there. There's a love for hockey there. And all of us can agree on you want that to grow. And if you look at a map with every single NHL team, that little area is missing. And so it's like it needed to be, something needed to happen up there, and it's the perfect city for it. So
let's look at the Seattle population. This is the ranked 15th in the U.S. metro population, 3.733 mm-hmm. million.
Wow.
It's a pretty large metropolitan area, too. Mm-hmm. So granted, they have football, they have NFL, they have MLB, they used to have NBA.
Yeah.
They have MLS. And you look at it, the atmosphere is that the Seahawks and the Sounders have created, too, especially the Sounders and MLS.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that transfers over. Look at what we've seen here in Nashville as well, how so much of that hockey atmosphere, that fun atmosphere, has transferred over into Nashville SC as well.
Yep. It has.
It transfers over, that fun atmosphere of the fans getting rowdy and everything. I fully expect it to transfer over into Seattle insert team name here.
Exactly. And you hear people talking too about how you go into Bridgestone Arena and there's that very college football-esque, you know, atmosphere, and that transferred over. And when you have a love for sports, it's going to transfer. And they already have a love for hockey itself, so it's going to be a booming city.
Mm-hmm.
It already is, but add that on top of it, mm-hmm. they're in for some fun.
And then you had the Seattle Totems as well. The Totems were a professional team. They also played in the Pacific Coast Hockey League, then renamed to the Western Hockey League. But the Totems, they played in the CHL, the Central Hockey League, too, and they were operated from 44 to 75.
And I'm seeing a lot of people saying that name might come back for this team when they're talking about naming it. What do you think?
Yeah, there's a few names out there. Glenn had an idea that I thought was awful.
Oh, it was fantastic.
What was your idea?
It's Starpucks, because Starbucks was originated in Seattle, so one, and then Pucks.
Gosh.
And then, for good measure, I said, misspell the names on the back of the jersey like they do at Starbucks. It's fantastic. Buck.
Thank you, Buck. I knew that. Thank you. I was just waiting for
it. Well, let me just say that 85% of people that voted in my poll said, yes, they're with me.
Because Instagram is what we use for the U.S. Census.
But really, how much fun is that name?
Not much fun at all.
I think it's fantastic.
No.
Boring. Y'all are boring.
Here's what I love.
Let me have my fun. What do you love?
You have your fun.
What do you love?
Even though it's awful fun. My fun, the Kraken.
I'm sorry, what?
The Kraken.
The Seattle Kraken?
Yes. Have you not seen what a Kraken looks like?
Go ahead, Justin. Tell us about the Kraken.
Insanely huge monster with tentacles everywhere, summoned by the gods.
We be Kraken.
No.
Buck, what's your genius
Release
idea?
Release the Kraken. Have you never seen that?
I have no idea what to contribute in this particular situation, but
sound effects.
I'll be honest, I was only kind of half listening, and then Justin said the Kraken, and I thought we were taking shots of rum, so I've been distracted since then.
Well, there's also been the Seattle...
I'll just be back here with the rum.
Oh, thank you. He's got the rum. No, where's the rum?
Nice.
The Seattle Sockeyes was another one that's been talked about.
Yeah.
I'd love to have it themed something with the sea or with the coast or with the history of the Pacific Northwest.
Would make perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd make great sense. So interesting to see. I just hope it's not awful like some of the names that were submitted for the Natural Predators, which you can read about in my book.
Yes, you
there,
can.
There's a few. There were, I think, the Attack.
Oh, jeez. Release the Attack, actually.
No. When you put it that way, right? When you put it that way. So let's talk a little bit about the expansion, what's going to happen. So in 3 years, there's going to be an expansion draft, and it's going to be the exact same rules as the Vegas expansion draft. Oh, my God, that means every team's going to lose a star player. No.
What are we going to do?
No, it does not. That means teams will be able to protect the players they want to protect. And if they have a no movement, if they have a no movement clause, they have to be protected. So Chicago, you are screwed. Yeah. Already, 3 years from now.
Already start worrying.
Yeah, you already have your hands tied.
Yep.
In 3 years, Chicago. Nashville at that point, unless for some reason Pecorini in 3 years is still playing in the league, which he could be, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
But his contract club then expired by then and won't have to worry about that. But same rule. So you can go the 7-3 route, the 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, or 8 total.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right? And plus a goalie.
A goalie.
So this means that teams will be able to protect all these 10 players,
mm-hmm,
or 8 players, whatever they want to do. Okay, does not mean a star player is going to get plucked. Okay, if you're out there saying that in the expansion draft, Vegas went and plucked the best player off of every single team, keep drinking whatever you're drinking. You must have like stolen Buck's rum from the studio, because I don't know what Rocky Mountain High you're on in Colorado, because you're wrong. They didn't. They picked number 8, number 9, number 10 player on each team, and somehow they made it work. They made it work. They had a great coach. They were playing for their city, for the new city. They're all a bunch of misfits that got put together. They had a huge chip on their shoulder. They had something to play for as a team together. Plus, they had something to play for with their city, with the tragedy they went through. They had so much to play for. And then you had some other teams, Florida, I'm looking at you, that traded really good players over to them to try to protect other ones. Okay, if you want to blame anyone for Vegas doing well, blame your own teams. Okay, it's not their fault. You blame them for who's made available or who they traded to Vegas. Vegas did what they had to do. It wasn't one of the things that anybody expected, because before the season started last year, no one picked them to go anywhere because of looking at the production. No one expected William Karlsson to have the year that he had. No one expected that at all. So if you're already looking at 3 years from now, the Seattle expansion draft, when you have no idea who is going to be on your team, Nashville Predators is going to look very different by then. Let's say very different. There's going to be obviously some faces right now on this team in 3 years.
Core, but
There's probably going to be at least 5 new faces, I'd say.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the bottom 6 and the third pairing for defense. That's just the way it's going to happen. Those guys are going to get exposed.
Yeah.
That's the way it's going to happen. And then you're going to complain. When I say you, I mean not you, Glenn, but there's going to be people on Facebook. There's going to be people on Facebook. I can't believe that they exposed this player. He's a star player. Oh, you mean the 12-point getter in 50 games?
Yeah. Just like Vegas, all Seattle is going to have to pick from is someone that was not protected. So if you think of, like you said, blame your own team, because if they chose not to protect him and they chose 8 other people before him, then in that general manager's eyes, he's not a star player and he's out.
Right.
But like they cannot pick your star player, because chances are your star player is protected. So,
but oh my God, Nashville didn't get this many opportunities back in the late 90s to do this. Folks, that was a different time back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there were a few less teams when Nashville did it, because there are other expansion teams after Nashville joined the league. And do you want an expansion team to be competitive? Absolutely.
Yeah. And times, they are changing.
You want, if you are trying to make your league successful in a market that did not have an NHL team, you want that team to do well. Be competitive. They don't have to win everything. Nobody expected Vegas to do it. Do you want Seattle to do well, to be competitive, to play good hockey? Yes. You want there to be fun hockey games. That's how you grow sport.
You want the Predators to go up there and play a game. You want them to, one, have some competition.
Yeah.
And to have, and you want fun watching it. So,
do you want to grow the sport, or are you going to be a Canadian with poutine up your booty? What do you want to be? Do you want to enjoy the sport, watch the sport grow? Buck is giving me a look right now. You want to see the sport grow. I could have went so many other places with this, but we'll go with the cheese curds.
But it's true.
You want the sport to grow.
You want good. If someone's playing in the National Hockey League, you want them to be a good competitive team. So
absolutely. Look at this. In Southern California, where I'm sure plenty of people are like, hockey's never going to work there, draft picks are coming from there.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to Matt Donovan the other week. He's from Oklahoma.
Yep.
Okay, Southern Florida, having hockey players go on and be professionals and play. That's how you get the sport to grow, because eventually there's going to be professional athletes, professional hockey players coming from Middle Tennessee that grew up here and played here. That's what you want with this. Okay. Up next, we have even more to discuss. We're going to discuss this new Central Division in 3 years and what's coming up next for the Nashville Predators as they head to Vancouver and Calgary. All that up next here on Penalty Box Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This is Penalty Box Radio.
I would swallow my pride, I would choke on the rinds, but the lack thereof would leave me empty inside. Swallow my doubt, turn it inside out, find nothing but faith in nothing. Wanna put my tender heart in a blender, watch it spin round to a beautiful oblivion. Rendezvous, then I'm through with you.
And welcome back to Penalty Box Radio, powered by E610 Athletes. Justin Bradford, Glenn Blackwell, producer Buck. We're talking hockey.
Yes.
I had to let at least the intro of that song go because it's one of those just,
I know, I hadn't heard
hits.
That one in a while.
I know.
So that was a good one. Well done, Buck.
Yeah, well done.
Unlike you, I give you compliments.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Can we talk? Well, I'm just saying, like, can we discuss, it's not happening right now, but can we discuss in
three years,
what the Central Division is going to look like?
3 years. Arizona Coyotes moving to the Central. On to the next? No. Arizona Coyotes. So let's look at this. And I know everyone is talking about this, and everybody has their ideas about realignment and everything.
Yeah, there's a lot of thoughts.
There's
lots of thoughts.
So some of my initial thoughts on Arizona coming to the Central. Oh boy, I hope Nashville can figure out how to finally beat the Coyotes.
That's one.
To the Coyotes, I'm sure, are kind of going, oh boy, I hope we can figure out a way to win in the Central. Because you think ahead to the Central and how competitive it is because, you know, last year's Nashville-Winnipeg. This year it's Nashville-Colorado-Winnipeg.
Yeah.
The competitiveness just keeps on going, and Minnesota shows that, well, they're still Minnesota. but we're looking at this as they'll be coming into a division that is obviously very strong. Nashville still will be very competitive then in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Look a little different, but a lot of the core will still be there because of the contracts that they're signed to. But my big thing is, some people are saying, well, is Arizona going to move?
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think they will. I still don't think
they're going to move. Might. I'm curious about this.
Go for it.
I'm curious as to what you're going to say because I know that the Houston Rockets owner had mentioned before that they were totally open to the idea of NHL coming to Houston.
Right.
And so you think, okay, this makes perfect sense because it sounds very odd right now with Arizona being in the Central Division because Arizona is not technically in the Central Division. Like in most people's eyes, you look at the map and you're like, that's weird. So if they move, you're thinking, okay, they kind of fit right into the Central Division. So that was a thought that came to mind just because Houston has expressed that interest and Houston would make much more sense being in the Central. So I don't know.
Well, Houston also about 6.5 million people in the metro area too. Huge city.
It's huge.
Not an NHL team. And not saying that always works because look how big of a city Atlanta is. But a lot of that has to do with ownership. But my thing with Arizona is the NHL, you can already see, is committed to making hockey work in Arizona. The big mistake was putting the arena on the edge of the freaking desert.
Yeah.
Why in the world would you do that? Same with Florida. Hey, let's put an arena on the edge of the Everglades and expect hockey to be successful.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. And I see that on social media often. If people travel to those games, you don't really want to travel to see a game there. It's not a destination arena because you think about Bridgestone. I think that everybody in Nashville, get spoiled because step out and there's everything that you could want right there in a weekend. And that not all cities are like that. So they did themselves a huge disservice by having that location because there's nothing to do and you have a ways to drive to get there and back. So you have to plan accordingly. And it's a kind of a nightmare.
Phoenix is a big city.
From a
there's traffic
experience. It's a kind of a nightmare.
Traffic. Yeah. Florida, same thing. From Fort
Anaheim,
Lauderdale.
Traffic problems.
Oh boy. Everybody's at Disney.
Oh boy.
In Florida, it takes 45 minutes from Fort Lauderdale. So, I mean, if anything, the Panthers should be in Fort Lauderdale or in Miami.
Yeah.
Sharing an arena with the Heat. Arizona, that's back to topic, still don't think that they're going to move. I know everybody's like, Quebec City. Well, everybody that's in Quebec City. That's about it. Everybody else, I mean, there's Kansas City has an arena that's waiting to be filled with something. NBA, NHL, something. Houston obviously has the population for it, and I think they could get behind it. Houston's one of those cities, though, like Atlanta, kind of transient.
Yeah.
You have a lot of people from all over the world in Houston. So it'd be really interesting to make that grow, because they've even had their own issues with hockey history, like making the AHL successful in Houston as well. Not saying that's the way you gauge it and everything.
Well, yeah. But you think about potential rivalries, too. You think about St. Louis and Dallas and could be.
Oh, yeah.
And that in and of itself is kind of exciting. So
so let's look at this, Glenn. I have a different way in terms of realignment.
Okay.
I know Paul on Slapshot Radio mentioned a north-south.
Oh,
type
okay.
of thing,
yeah.
Which I could see. Mm-hmm. I, on the other hand, if we really, really want to even out travel, because we look and see teams like the Rangers, the Flyers, the Devils, the Islanders, even if you want to throw in the Bruins mm-hmm. in there, their travel is so easy. Sometimes they'll go by bus.
Yeah.
To where you have Nashville to Winnipeg, or Winnipeg. Okay, I want to use Nashville. I don't want to be a homer with this. Let's look at Winnipeg.
Okay.
Granted, why the heck did you build a city in the middle of the marshland?
Well, this is very true.
According to the San Jose Sharks, some bad Wi-Fi. But
that nobody
Winnipeg,
likes being there.
Nobody likes you, Winnipeg. No, I'm kidding. Never been there, but I've heard it's really? Beautiful at times when it's not mm-hmm. winter. Mm-hmm. So Winnipeg has to travel just to get to Minnesota, their closest team. That's a flight, right? That's a big flight right there. My thought would be, and this won't happen, like Major League Baseball has. Or even like what the NFL has. It's not east. It's not directional.
Mm-hmm.
Is your conference is just, it's plucked on. You could base it on rivalries as well a little bit. But you split it up evenly to where every team's going to have to travel a ridiculous amount of miles to play everybody.
Okay, so yours is not to try to cut mileage down, but to make it fair.
Make it
fair. Everybody has to, yeah.
Everybody has to.
I could get on board with that.
Everybody has to do it.
Yeah, it is true. When you've got them all lumped together in the Northeast, mm-hmm. that must be nice.
And now the NFL is very different in terms of the schedule that they play. Mm-hmm. 16 games. Very different from 82.
Which is October
and
in NHL.
Baseball plays a bajillion games, but they have long homestands mm-hmm. and everything. But that's what I would like to see. And then you could put the teams will never go for it because we want our game times to be starting consistently at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, you know, for in the Central or for in the East. BS. Deal with it. I want to be more fair in terms of how you have these things established. So therefore, you could have Detroit and Nashville in the same division again, in the same conference again, because you're splitting it up based on what you want to see. Montreal, Boston continue to be in the same one. Mm-hmm. But then Boston could also be in the same as in San Jose.
Oh, yeah.
So that's just my thought. It's never going to happen. They would never approve that, but that's how I'd make it fair with travel, is that you split the conferences up based on the old school method of where you used to have two leagues that would combine, and that's how you kind of formed your conferences.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I can definitely see that. I think for me, I love the idea of a map, and I love the idea of it making sense. So when you say like the possibility of Boston, San Jose, or Boston, Los Angeles, I'm like, what? I can't fathom that in the same division, but I get it.
No,
I can get on board because the travel can, a lot of times people say, oh, that's just an excuse. No, travel can take its toll on a team
mm-hmm.
if they continually have to travel a much further distance. They have a lot more time in between. They have a lot more jet lag than the team that they're playing. So it can take its toll.
Okay, we have a comment that came in from Matthew Smith on Twitter saying that Las Vegas only got the 8th to 10th best players and is flawed. Explain Neil not being protected. A lot of it was cap and salary issues. Yeah, you're mm-hmm. right. But still, general managers could have made trades to protect players. They could have done this. That does not mean that it was not fair in terms of how players are protected, because you have plenty of other players that were taken in this draft that people laughed about being taken. Again, I go to what everyone was saying before the season started for the Las Vegas Golden Knights, and that no one picked them to be a playoff team. People only pick them to finish above maybe two or three teams in the entire league. Neil is not protected because of the Yarncroft contract. That's working out okay right now, because Neil is going to want a heck of a lot more money and term, and David Poile is not going to give him that, and rightly so. But again, no one's expecting the Vegas Golden Knights to finish the way they did. Go back and read any article right after the expansion draft and before the season started.
Yeah.
Maybe a little competitive, but they were going to be awful.
Yeah.
Everyone, including here on this show and every other show, no one's given them an opportunity. So, yes, of course, some players were obviously better than 8th to 10th best player on the squad, but that's up to the general manager to do it. Nashville's put in a weird position because they had four defensemen that they obviously needed to protect.
Well, yeah. And you could
four,
say,
compared to other teams, they usually have two or three.
Yeah, so let's just say that the Predators, 3 years from now, go with the seven skaters, three defensemen route, and they protect their four, you know, the Ryan Johansson, Forsberg, Arvidsson, and Turris. Let's just say they protect them, and then you've got three defensemen. You're going to have to break up that core of four, or you could always make a trade, getting Seattle to commit to not taking that fourth core defenseman, but then, of course, you're going to have to give up a player in that. Mm-hmm. So, but, I mean...
And here's my thing. If a player had to be unprotected due to cap issues, that's on the general manager for signing them to a horrible contract.
That's very true.
That's not on anybody else, for the general manager to not thinking ahead. And yeah, well, they didn't know that Vegas was going to get a team. You had a couple years.
Yeah.
You had a couple years to make these decisions. Now you have 3 years to make decisions. Again, this is where Chicago shot themselves in the foot with their horrible contracts. It's their own fault that they're awful. They could still be competitive. They have three rings.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they can't rebuild on the fly. You've seen other teams still be a little competitive, but they put themselves in cap issues and blamed it on their coach.
Yeah.
And now you see what's going on there. Yeah. Duncan Keith getting 29 penalty minutes. So yeah, it's a mix of both. It's obviously a mix of both with cap issues and things like that. But again, no one expected him to make the Stanley Cup final, let alone make the playoffs before that started. So yeah, James Neal produced for them a little bit, but he also trailed off as well because he's a very finicky player when it comes to, well, his on-ice product. Okay. Up next, we have lots of Twitter questions that we're going to answer that came in, and also look a little bit ahead because we didn't get to it this segment because we actually like to talk a lot when the phones weren't working. That's all up next here on Penalty Box Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hi, this is Kevin Carter, and you're listening to Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And welcome back to Penalty Box Radio, powered by E610 Athletes. Justin Bradford, Glenn Blackwell, producer Buck, sending ESPN 8 Hockey Talk. I got a smirk from Buck. It takes a lot to get a smirk
from
Buck.
How did you do that? Teach me, oh wise one.
I do not
know. You're not looking back here. You don't know what I'm smirking at.
He smirks
Buck,
a lot.
My eyes are everywhere.
I mean, I want to know, Buck, based on the picture I saw, how was your stint with the Vice unit out of Miami? You had the hair for it.
Back off. All right. Back off. I did not know until after said video was taken that I looked like a washed up rent-a-cop. I did not know these things, Justin. Otherwise, I would have done something about it.
Well, next time I'm getting you a white suit and a bright blue shirt.
I'm not above it.
No, you're not.
I'm not above it at all. There was more women's hairspray holding my hair together than I think might be in Davidson County.
Oh, wow.
I need to get some tips on what kind you used.
Wow.
Listen, it's
pretty intense.
It's tough to replicate. I'll be honest with you. Good luck.
All right, Glenn, up next. Vancouver Canucks, Calgary Flames, kind of flippy-floppy here because the Canucks are struggling. They're on the struggle bus big time. They started out the season pretty darn well, and now they're 1-8-1 in their last 10. They've lost three in a row, so they're obviously going to be coming out pretty strong against the Predators because, again, whenever a team faces the Nashville Predators, one of the best teams in the league, they're always going to give Nashville their best effort. So I can't say that you overlooked this because it couldn't be in one of those quote-unquote trap games, as Calgary is a much, much better team, very competitive, leading the Pacific right now. So Predators have to be really prepared for Vancouver.
They have to. And you can never in any sport underestimate any team. And like when you go 1-8-1, that team is fired. It could actually go one of two ways. They could be really, really down on themselves and give their worst, because they have zero confidence and they're intimidated, or what the fan base can hope is they're going to come out guns a-blazing. And, I mean, the Predators, every team actually has seen that happen at some point or another.
Yeah.
You know, they come in and they think they've got this one in the bag, and they don't. So they're going to have to be ready. So it'll be exciting.
It will.
But Calgary, man, I mean, a few years ago, would you have thought?
Calgary, except for James Neal.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I'm sorry, I'm still on that. He's not worth it right now.
But it's wild because a few years ago,
it was the Flames.
You wouldn't think like, get me me out of the studio with him. Get me out. They're just so closely matched right now. The Flames are 17-9-2. The Preds 19-8-1. Goaltending is consistent in both teams. They've kind of mastered their power play, which is something that the Preds are, you know, they're working on and they're getting better at. But I think that this is going to be one of those games that afterwards we're all like, we're talking about this one for a few days for sure.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
It's going to be fun.
So James Neal has 6 points in 28
Aww,
games.
He's a star player.
3 goals and 3 assists. And he's getting his cap hit is $5.75 million.
Mm.
6 points. $5.75 million. 28 games. So he's on pace now for 24 points. So he's on pace for getting paid $500,000 per point. It's insane. Something like that.
He's a star.
Oh, boy. That's one of the reasons why David Poile did not protect James Neal, because of the way that he's obviously fallen down in terms of his production. Okay, I don't mean to be hating on James Neal. I'm just saying there's a reason for why he was not protected, and this is the reason why, because of the money that he was going to command, which the way he was producing, I can see why he would command that. I totally can. Okay,
yeah.
Let's get to our questions. Okay. Preds Angry Fan asks, do you think there'll be a strong crowd in Nashville for the NWHL All-Star Game later this season? I absolutely do. The NWHL All-Star Game taking place February 10th at Bridgestone Arena, following the Predators taking on the St. Louis Blues in the afternoon game there. The skills competition at Ford Ice Center February 9th. I think and hope there's going to be a tremendous crowd just to show, one, love for hockey, mm-hmm. two, love for the NWHL, three, the love for the growth of the sport.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely going to be. If you saw the turnout for the All-Star Game when it came to Nashville, I mean, it blew up and it got people so excited about hockey that might not have really been into hockey before. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be like a round two for them. And so we all get the opportunity to kind of experience that same mm-hmm. feeling again. And you're going to have the people that love the sport that are out there supporting it. And then you're going to bring in new people that mm-hmm. might not have, you know, might have missed the All-Star Game when it came. So now we've got this coming. So I think that it's going to be huge. I am, for one, I'm super excited. But yeah, I definitely think it's going to be big.
Absolutely. Connect for Liberty. Not his first rodeo going to see the Preds on the road, but he's asking us, before you were in media, what was your favorite arena on the road as a fan? Well, I didn't travel much to see because it's expensive to travel as a fan to see the Preds. Glenn, where have you been as a fan and what have you enjoyed the most?
Well, I've only been to two opposing arenas, but the thing that I enjoyed the most about it was the first one I went to was St. Louis. And I will say that I don't know. There was something about the vibe in the arena. I wasn't really a fan of that one. But when we took the road trip to Columbus, that arena was so welcoming. Everybody there was so welcoming to opposing fans. And we talked to these people that were behind us who were obviously Blue Jackets fans. Mm-hmm. And it was such an enjoyable experience to feel welcome there because it went back to the love of the sport. It wasn't like, oh, she's in a Preds jersey. You know, let me pour a beer on her head and throw popcorn in her hair. So I enjoyed that, but I definitely have not. I have been dying to get out on a West Coast trip.
Sure.
And I plan to do that within the next season or two. So I definitely want to do that. But so I haven't really traveled that much either to different arenas.
Yeah, I want to get out west. I want to get to Toronto mm-hmm. as well. For Penalty Box Radio, we're actually heading to D.C. for the New Year's Eve game. Mm-hmm. They have a group of about 45 people just with us heading out to D.C. for that. So it's going to be interesting to experience that arena there. Washington, the Stanley Cup champion, mm-hmm. Washington Capitals. In the playoffs, I really enjoy. Now, I didn't enjoy whatever was around it outside of the arena, but I really like the United Center in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Big reason. They serve Haagen-Dazs bars in the press box.
That's enough of a reason.
That's
all you need.
The food selection was fantastic. The arena's huge. The crowd was really neat to start the game, and then the Predators shut them out. So, I mean, it was a great experience. It was a fun experience. It was a fun experience to cover the team like that. So I think we have time for one more question before we have to get going. And so we'll go with this one. It's an IR update. We have a lot of people asking about IR updates. So David Poile, I know, was on, I believe, with Darren and Donick here on 102.5 The Game and spoke that potentially, without releasing anything, the closest that players might be is P.K. Subban and Kyle Turris, potentially. We don't know. We have not had really any update at all on those guys. We obviously know what's wrong with Victor Arvidsson. We do not know what's wrong with Philip Forsberg.
Yeah.
We can guess on some things. We know 4 to 6 weeks at least for those two, but mm-hmm. Subban and Turris haven't really been given a timetable, so maybe they're back.
I mean,
soon. Subban, I think Subban on his Instagram posted that he was skating.
Which is good.
Which is a good sign, at least be out there on the ice.
But we all know that David Poile, I don't know if you guys knew this, but in college, David Poile set a record at, was it Northeastern that he went to?
Mm-hmm.
Set a record.
Yeah. You better get that
11
right.
11 hat tricks, and that record still stands. So, I mean, you know, if the injury bug continues to bite the Preds, all I'm saying is you might want to suit him up, and he's capable.
Breaking news from Glenn Blocker right there.
We're going to put David Poile in.
That's great trivia right there. But yeah, I'm sorry we don't have an update. That's just, you know, Peter Laviolette really protects the injuries.
Yeah.
Peter Laviolette really protects the injury status of a lot of players.
For whatever reason, that's the case. And yeah.
We don't get much.
So we have to see how it plays out.
So we don't know. But we appreciate you all tuning in. Thank you for the interaction on Twitter. We always appreciate your questions. I think we actually answered a lot of the questions that we received just in our discussion through the actual show, whether it's Pekka being a Vezina candidate again or the expansion draft or anything of that sort. So we really appreciate y'all tuning in. Post-game reports, videos, more podcasts, everything you want and need when it comes to hockey coverage is all on PenaltyBoxRadio.com. For producer Buck and Glenn Blackwell, I am Justin Bradford. Thank you so much for tuning in to Penalty Box Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.